Hi, welcome everybody to the Light Reading Executive Spotlight Q&A. This is Light Reading's sponsored podcast series exploring the companies and the technologies moving the industry forward. My name is Sterling Perrin. I'm an analyst with Heavy Reading, focused on transport networks. And today I'm joined by Francisco Santana with Ciena. Hi, Francisco. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Sterling. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to be talking to you again about one of my favorite topics, 5G transport. Actually, the main topic for today is going to be the results from the 2024 5G Network Strategies Operator Survey, an annual survey that we do is produced by Light Reading and was published just ahead of MWC. And specifically within that, it's a larger project with a number of sections. Specifically, we're going to be digging into the 5G transport network results today, and Francisco will be helping me parse through the findings. One of the areas we looked at was network slicing, kind of a perennial topic, but we wanted to get the latest read from the market on network slicing for transport networks. And this year, we asked operators about their preferred approaches for transport network slicing. Among the options that we gave them, segment routing, MPLS, came through as the most established today by far. 42% of respondents reporting SR-MPLS, which is soft slicing option already in use in their networks. But looking out over the next 2 years, the respondents noted that SRv6 is going to come on strong. Within 2 years, 42%. Expecting to adopt segment routing V6, SRv6 for transport slicing. So quite a strong finding there. Francisco, what do you think about the results on MPLS and SRv6, as well as just any other findings that you saw from the network slicing question?
Yes, Sterling, it's pretty impressive. I mean, that both SR-MPLS and SRv6 have such a good engagement from operators, many of them, I mean, 42% SR-MPLS and 29% SRv6 already in use. And when you put together the ones that are planning to deploy it in the next 2 years, both of them are in the 70s%. So you see quite widespread plans or already engagements, investments in SR and SRv6. This is well aligned with what we're seeing here in the market. And it's quite interesting in this topic because we talked a lot about network slicing a few years ago. It was one of the biggest enablers of the 5G promise. So there was lots of expectations there, a lot of hype and expected inflated expectations, I'm sorry. And then there was this disillusion with the technology. I would say that in 2023, most of our customers were not really involved in slicing deployments or not really interested in talking about slicing. But now we are seeing a big resurgence of the topic with lots of strength. And SR became very popular. Most of our customers are doing some sort of SR implementation. Many are starting with SR-MPLS, but SRv6 is also becoming very popular. And what's interesting is that it's not only for slicing, it's also for overall IP performance enhancement, leveraging SR for better traffic engineering in general, and it's also for better network resilience. So different aspects of SR deployment. And this popularity of SR combined with the investments in 5G standalone that we also can see in the survey, when you put it together, it kind of build a very strong case for concrete slice advancements moving forward. So it seems that now we have a very good traction for slicing. Soft slicing, of course, with SR and SRv6 is leading the wave. But we also see some good conversations and initiatives by leveraging FlexE for hard slicing. And it shows also in the research. So there is a lot going on here. And a big shift in the behavior of operators with regards to slicing. So it seems good news to the market in general.
Yeah, it does. And it's a little bit of a, we've been here before, but I think you make a good point. As we look at the industry 5 years ago, I think, I know, slicing was overpromised from the simple fact that the technologies, underlying technologies, really weren't there to make it real on the radio side. The combination of the 5G standalone core and then and just the functionality of the radio standards themselves. And now, as we move into 2024, we're seeing those things coming into place in the network so that you can actually do slicing. I do suspect that we'll see a lot more real deployments moving forward. But, you know, the industry is a little bit scarred, I think, from some of the overpromising from the whole industry, you know, ourselves as analysts included. Let me go to another topic here from the survey. Cell site gateways, really kind of the workhorse of the 5G network. And we asked about the importance of a number of attributes for next generation cell site routers, cell site gateways. And looking at those results, energy efficiency topped the list of attributes that are considered critical. Just looking at the numbers, 38% of the operators surveyed globally said that's a critical feature. Maybe not a surprise, but do you want to talk through what you saw? Energy efficiency, maybe it's quite obvious, but you know, why is this such a big one for the cell site router?
Yeah, that's quite interesting as well, because these questions show that things like energy efficiency, outdoor mount, weatherproof platforms, even shallow depth for street cabinets, temperature hardener, all of those score pretty well in terms of features that operators are prioritizing and looking at. And it resonates with what we are seeing and hearing from the market. And from what I'm seeing from the market, it seems that it's the case that there is a lot of cell site diversification going on. A lot of experimentations or with small cells, all sorts of rooftop cells, wall-mounted radios, pole-mounted, strand-mounted, a lot of pressure in the cell sites with regards to making, it's not only energy savings because of sustainability or because of costs. Yes, it is, but it's also trying to keep up with the pressure on the overall cell site and cell environment, space, power, and cooling. So we are hearing more and more operators asking for alternatives for support to avoid retrofitting cell sites, to avoid any kind of construction work at the cell site. And that means that they need right-sized cell site routers, that they need outdoor-mounted, strand-mounted, they need to avoid any cooling impact. So as an example, Ciena has been responding to that by diversifying our xHaul router portfolio. So in the last couple of years, we have launched several platforms, some smaller platforms, very compact outdoor platforms. All of our platforms are temperature harder, outdoor platforms with outdoor enclosures. So a lot of flexibility so that operators can navigate these different cell site environments, different cell site scenarios, and kind of build something that is tailor-made to their environment and that's not going to put additional pressure. So when I look at the questions and the answers, it seems to resonate with everything that we are seeing, that there's a lot new in terms of cell site to respond to all densification requirements, to the new spectrum introduction, and the market, the transport market needs to enable that and to cope with these new requirements.
Yeah, do you see... The outdoor was interesting to me. The outdoor mountable platforms and temperature hardened. You can see that these are, you know, certainly being deployed in non, I don't know, CO type of environments. Does that indicate that operators are anticipating like new builds, a lot of greenfield type, or is something else behind this outdoor interest? Is it just simply a way to upgrade stuff that's been deployed before in 4G?
I think it's a mix. It's hard to generalize in this because it's very dependent on the region. But I would say that, yes, there are some millimeter wave initiatives, some densification even for mid-band that is requiring new cell sites and new small cells and different formats of cells. Yes, there is display. but there is also introduction of additional components in existing cell sites and macro cell sites. And those are requiring some more creative approach to make sure that they can be very effective in their investments and not put additional pressure in these sites and do this in the most cost-effective, both from a CapEx and OpEx perspective, most cost-effective way.
Yeah, I think cost-effective is a big theme of 2024 and maybe 2025, as well as a lot of operators are digesting a lot of money spent over the past several years around 5G. Let's go through one more question from the survey. And there were many interesting ones, but let's focus on the kind of a more general one. We asked operators about a number of different 5G transport related technologies, gauging their relative importance for operators. And in this one, edge user plane function, UPF technology, topped the list. 44% of operators saying they're very interested in it and definite plans to deploy. I mean, it's got the word edge in it, but edge is kind of come and gone and maybe coming back as a buzzword. What do you think of that particular finding? And then the other one that was interesting in that was a lot of interest in high-speed PONs for mid-haul backhaul. But maybe start with the edge user plane.
As you mentioned, I mean, edge has been quite hyped, and that there's a lot of interest in that. There continues to be a lot of interest in that, maybe even with all the hype around AI and what might be the impact in the edge. But also, I see there is a concern on how to monetize the telco edge and bring more efficiency to the network deployments as well, try to bring better experience to the users with lower latency applications and things like that. So, of course, there is an area that drags a lot of attention, specifically when we talk about edge acceleration. There are some initiatives, some concerns on trying to leverage control and user plane separation and push the UPF closer to the edge. As an example, we are engaging with several providers and operators looking at alternatives to leverage the existing compute of transport routers, their ASICs, to deploy an UPF over the router and kind of do this in a more efficient, in a better way and more cost-efficient way than actually needing a dedicated appliance at the edge or doing this with a more complex cloud approach. So those are things that can help accelerate the edge in a very cost-efficient way. And I think there's a lot of traction around these discussions. Mm-hmm. But I would also mention you talked about PON as an alternative for backhaul transport, for xhaul transport in general. Yep. We are also seeing a lot of interest in that. Not a lot of deployments yet, but it's getting more and more traction. And that's something that we are quite well positioned and seeing good conversations with customers because of our approach, or more convergent approach, where all of our xhaul platforms are capable of hosting micro OLT plugs. And this lands the platform, the transport platform that is already supporting a macro cell site or any xhaul environment is capable of seamlessly supporting PON transport. So it seems that this kind of deployments, this kind of solutions will become more popular in the next year or so. And we are very attentive to that.
Yeah, I agree. Ciena has invested quite a bit over the past few years in PON and the access networks, even in some acquisitions as well. So it seems like well thought out strategy there based on what we're seeing just in the survey here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, just the typical fixed network stuff aside. So yeah, looking forward to that. We are running out of time. Let me ask, anything else from the survey? We did have a number of questions in there. We're not going to get to them all. Any other just big picture findings from the survey you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, one topic really quickly is the timing and synchronization. It's clearly something very critical for service providers. It showed very high level of critical and important for all of the topics around timing and synchronization. And that's very much in line with what we're hearing from the markets. Everyone wants to look at this to increase 5G performance, to increase network resilience. The other topic was around rent centralization and front hall packetization. It continues to grow. It's been somewhat a longer journey than we initially expected, but it continues to take traction. And I think it's quite aligned with the trend of operators looking for more efficient ways to deploy their networks, focusing on how they can make the most of their capital expenditures and focus on cost efficiency for the next couple of years.
All right. So now we are out of time, but I want to thank you, Francisco, for your insights today and also for all your help putting together this year's survey and actually, I think last year's as well. So really interesting projects. Thanks a lot, Francisco.
Thank you, Sterling.
And for listeners, the full survey report is titled 5G Network Strategies Operator Survey, and it can be found on the Light Reading website. If you search under the white papers section and for further help finding it, it was published on February 23rd. So again, just heading into MWC. And if you're hearing this podcast series for the first time, please check out this and past episodes at the Light Reading website, www.lightreading.com. Thanks everyone for listening.